We are in Perek Mem Aleph, Pasuk Dalet. We are in the middle of Pari's first dream. At the end of 2 years, in addition to the time Yosef was in prison for the 10 years, but because he put his trust in the butler, Hashem kept him in prison 2 years. So at the end of those 2 years, Pari had a dream. What was his dream? He was standing next to the Nile, or on the Nile was his dream. Up comes up 7 fat cows. Okay, and they stand in the pasture over there. Then 7 skinny cows come up, and they stood next to the fat cows. So there was a meeting between the fat cows and the skinny cows. Like next door. Okay, then in Pasuk Dalet we're up to now. But the Chalna Paris, the cows ate, which cows? Roy Samare Vedaki Sabasar, the bad appearance one and the very thin cows, ate up a Sheva HaParis, the 7 cows, Yefei Samare, which were good looking, Vabrias and the healthy ones, meaning the skinny cows ate up the fat cows, Vayikats Pari and Pari woke up. Now, what is the significance? What is the significance of this concept of eating the skinny cows, eating the fat cows? So Rashi learns that all the 7 years of plenty, that the 7 years of plenty are going to be forgotten. Because that's the, according to Rashi, that's what it means, they ate it up, that they swallowed them up, it's going to be forgotten. According to the Ramban, it's a deeper meaning, that the years of hunger would consume the years of abundance, meaning that the years of abundance, the good years, would have to support the bad years. And with this, the Ramban explains, this is the interpretation of the dream which caused Yosef to give up advice when he wasn't asked for it. And as we're jumping the gun a little bit, but as everybody knows, that after Yosef interpreted the dreams, there's going to be 7 years of plenty, and then 7 years of hunger, and, you know, the whole story. So then Yosef gave an opinion. He said, oh, by the way, I have advice for you, that during the years of plenty, you should put away the food and store it for the 7 years of hunger. So all the commentaries ask later, and we're going to get there later, Mirtz Hashem. So everybody asks, who asked him for advice? It's almost as bad as the Meraglim. The Meraglim told the Jew to do their job, and they came back and gave advice. So why did Yosef give advice? So the Ramban learns it wasn't advice. Yosef's thing was the interpretation of the dream. The Ramban learns the fact that the skinny cows ate up the fat cows showed that the support of the skinny year, meaning the hunger years, is going to be from the fat years. That's why the skinny cows ate the fat cows, meaning the 7 years of hunger are going to be supported by the 7 years of plenty. So that wasn't advice, it was an actual part of the interpretation of the dream. So that's the way the Ramban learns.
So the first 7 years they had plenty, then the 7 years they didn't have anything?
Right. Well, we don't know that yet. Meanwhile, all we know now is that there are 7 fat cows and 7 skinny cows, and the 7 skinny cows ate the 7 fat cows. That's all we know so far. And Vayikat Pari Pyro woke up. Now, what made him wake up? Somebody said when he saw the bad cows, he woke up. No, that's what some Mefarshim learned. And other people explain that Pari had to wake up in between the 2 dreams. Because we know he immediately goes into a second dream. The question is, why couldn't Pari just sleep through both dreams? So the Radak explains the fact that Pari woke up and fell back asleep and had the same dream shows it's one dream, not 2 different dreams. We're going to soon learn that all the interpreters, besides Yosef, who interpreted this dream, interpreted it to mean 2 separate dreams completely. Yosef is explaining that it's really one dream. And Pai woke up in the middle and fell back asleep, that he showed that there were not additional dreams, but they were actually the same dream, but it's going to happen fast.
It was the same dream, it was sweet through both of them.
No, but I'm saying that Hashem wanted to show that it's happening right away. So he's getting, it's like many people, you read about stories, that people had certain dreams and they ignored them. When they dreamt them two nights in a row, then they realized there must be something to the dream. Other people, they bring down an opinion of Arkadis Yitzchok, the commentary, that says, Pari didn't even wake up. In his dream, he woke up. Vayikas Pari is part of the dream. But not that he actually woke up. Okay, Simbasi K, it says, Vayishan, he went back asleep, he fell back asleep, Vayachalim Shainis, and he had another dream. Okay? And the Rashbam says, he didn't really wake up, because if he woke up, he just wouldn't have fallen back asleep. It means he fell mamish immediately back to sleep. Vihine, what was the second dream? Similar to the first dream, but instead of cows, it was stalks of grain. Vihine Sheva Shibolim, he saw that seven ears of grain, not years, ears of grain, Eilis Bekona Echo were sprouting from one stalk. That means they were like, on one stalk, then seven grains came up. Briyes, v'tevis, very healthy and very strong and very, you know, good looking. The fact that it doesn't say, the Kli Yakar explains, it doesn't say, vayishan vayachalem eid. It should have said vayachalem eid. He dreamt again. Shainis means second, which again the Kli Yakar emphasizes, it was a single dream repeated. Shainis means there was a repetition. So it wasn't a new dream, it was actually a repetition of the first dream.
It was like two dreams twice.
No, he had one dream and one dream.
The cows and now
the stalks. Right. But it was really both one dream divided into two.
Oh.
Now the Mefarshim say, and we discussed this by Yosef's dreams, here you see a difference between a tzaddik's dreams and a Rasha or this Pari's dreams. When Yosef had the dream, first he dreamt about, if you remember in the fields, he says to his brothers, all your stalks are bowing to me. That was the first dream. Then Yosef had another dream that the stars and the moon and everybody is bowing down to him. The sun and the moon and the stars are bowing down to him. So Yosef's dreams started with stalks, and the second dream was about stars and the moon and the sun. So Yosef's second dream went higher, went up from grain to star in the sun. Pari first dreamt about cows, and the second dream he went down from plant, from animal to plant. Because Hashem could have made Pari have the dreams in reverse. First the stalks, and then the seven cows. But by Pari's dreams, things go downward rather than upward. Now, the Medrash HaGadol, as it's called, the commentary also called Medrash HaGadol, the Medrash HaGadol says, what does Shainis mean? Shainis doesn't mean second, like the literal translation. Shainis means Mishuna. Weird, strange. The first dream was not as weird as the second dream. And therefore, by the second dream, it says he dreamt Shainis a weird dream. Why? The first dream was skinny cows and fat cows. And the skinny cows swallowed the fat cows. But at least cows have a mouth. What's why you never saw skinny people eat up fat people? Now, yeah. Now, at least though by animals, when you have the concept of swallowing, it makes sense. Okay, it's a little weird that fat cows are being swallowed up by skinny cows, but the concept of cows eating cows exists. When you're talking about stalks of grain, that one stalk eats up another stalk, that's weird.
Cows.
Why not? If it's Lubavitch Shechita, they'll eat it. So it says, Vayishan, Vayachalim, Shainis, the Medrash says, the Medrash HaGadol says, Shainis over here doesn't only mean a second dream, it means a strange dream. Because the second dream is weirder than the first dream. Okay. Being a Shavuot, okay. V'neshava shibalim pasik vav. V'neshava shibalim, and all of a sudden, 7 ears of corn, of grain, stakes ushtufes kadim, thin and scorched by the east wind, means the wind already blew off everything on it, tzemches achareyem, grew up after them. Meaning they came up following them.
On the same kane echad?
No. No, tzemches achareyem after them. Kadim, no. Kadim is east. It refers to the east window.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
Why did Joseph even have to dream this event that was about to happen? Why couldn't it just happen?
You mean Pari.
When the dream?
Paro.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're right. Paro had the dream and Joseph interpreted.
Right. So the question is, why did Paro have to have a dream? Why didn't it just happen? Yeah? Okay, so the answer to the question is very simple. First of all, Pari needed a warning that in the 7 years of good, they should store food for the 7 years of bad. Now, we'll learn later, it wasn't easy to... don't forget, they didn't have refrigeration, they didn't have freezers. Okay? Now, normally, grain you cannot store for 7 years. What Yosef did, he did it because he was warned by Hashem that this is going to happen, when he stored the wheat together with the earth of the place where it grew. So that itself kept it from being spoiled. Because all the Egyptians that stored food, all their food, the Medrash said, became spoiled. That's why they ought to come to Yosef for food, because everybody's food spoiled. Yosef was forewarned, and Hashem gave him the seichel to understand that if you want something to be preserved, you preserve it with the place where it came from. Now, Hashem also wanted that Yosef should become a leader. If Pari didn't dream, and it just happened, Yosef would still be sitting in jail. And what did Hashem want? This is all part of a master plan. Yosef should become the leader. The brothers should come down to find Yosef. And because of that, Yaakov comes down. Because of that, the Jews are in Egypt. Because of that, there's the Exodus and the whole story. So Hashem wanted this to happen. Vayikatz Pare, Pasuk Zayin. Vativlavna Shibolim Adakis. So what happened is, the 7 skinny stalks ate up Shava Shibolim Habriyaz Vamleyas, the 7 fat stalks. Vayikatz Pare woke up. And now he realized, now he has a dream. The first time when he finished the first dream, it just says, Vayikatz Pari, he woke up. Here, he woke up for good, so to speak, and he realized, Vihine Chalaim, this is a dream that has to be interpreted. And also, the Mefarshim explained, it was almost morning, and he woke up, and behold, it's a dream. And he had to have a interpretation of the dream. And also the Ramban says another interesting word. Chalem is singular. Vayikatz Pari, Pari woke up, Vihine, and behold, he realized that this is one dream, not two. And that's why in the next psukim, when Pari called his interpreters and everybody didn't appease him, it was because, like we said before, everybody interpreted it as 2 separate dreams. And Pari understood Vihidei Chalaim. He didn't say Chalaimot, plural. Chalaim, it was one dream. He understood it was one dream. Okay, so now, Vayi Babaker, it was in the morning. Vatipoyam Rucha, in his heart was agitated. Simply means he was... not angry.
Nervous.
Excited. Agitated means he was disturbed, yeah?
Perturbed,
disturbed. All of the above. You could write a theosaurus in this class. Now, there was another king, another great Goyish king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. He also had a dream. But over there in the morning when he woke up, it says over there in Daniel, Vatis Poem Ruchi. Not Vati Poem with one tough, it's a Vatis Poem Ruchi. Because over there was a double problem. Nebuchadnezzar forgot the dream. Pari here remembered the dream, but he didn't know the interpretation. Nebuchadnezzar forgot the dream and didn't know the interpretation. So Daniel told Nebuchadnezzar what the dream was and the interpretation of the dream. Here, Pari knew the dream, even though, as we'll learn, he switched everything around. I mean, he made a lot of changes from what really...
Was that Belshazzar?
No. Nebuchadnezzar was Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar was Belshazzar.
Okay.
Are the Yankees the Mets?
No.
No. They come from the same place. They come. They come from the same place, but it's two different things. Belshazzar and Nebuchadnezzar are two different kings.
Just coincidentally, what was Nebuchadnezzar's dream?
I don't remember now.
Oi, pay.
Okay. Okay, Vayiba Beku was in the morning, but Vipoyim Ruchai, his heart was agitated, he didn't understand what's going on. Vayishlach, and he sent, Vayikras Kol Chatume Mitzrayim. He called every Chatume Mitzrayim. Now, Chatumim is different interpretations. Some people say it's a magician, black magic. Some people say it's a soothsayer. Some people say people that speak to the dead. Some people speak chiseling and engraves. Some people say fortune tellers. Some people say astrologers. These are all the different interpretations of the people that Pari called. He called all of his, basically he called all his wise people. Whoever knew anything, he called them. And as it says, he called them from all around the place. Vayisaper Pari lohem es chalemei. So Pari told everybody his dream. Nobody would interpret them to Pari. And it's interesting. The Pasuk says, Pari said, Chalomo, his dream, and nobody interpreted them. Not also, Eisam. And this is exactly what the Ramban is saying. They learned it as two separate dreams. So they interpreted Isam as two separate dreams. Therefore, they didn't interpret it for Pari's agreement. Pari was not happy with their interpretation. Why? Because the Pasuk is saying why. Because they interpreted it as two separate dreams when it was really one dream. What did they interpret? Rashi said a whole bunch of things. He's going to have seven daughters and bury seven daughters. He's going to conquer seven countries and lose seven countries. You know. So they came a bunch of interpretations. And therefore the Pasuk, by the way, doesn't say that they didn't interpret it. The Pasuk doesn't say, Vein Peser Eisam, period. It says, Vein Peser Eisam Lefare. For Pari's satisfaction, they didn't interpret it. But they did interpret it. I mean, if they had to come up with some interpretation. So the Mefarshim say, why didn't they Takis say hunger and plenty? I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Skinny cows is hunger and fat cows are plenty. Because they couldn't imagine that a king should be have to deal with hunger. It didn't even register such an interpretation in their head to say that Pari has to deal with hunger. It just didn't work. It was too far-fetched. Okay. Now, like we said before, the Sipunis says also, they didn't understand that it was really one message. Now, the Sipurna explains what taka does the two dreams mean. One is about animals and one is about grain. So he says one alludes to the physical animals plowing fields. Okay? And the second one refers to the actual hunger and plenty. So that's why it's not stump skinny and fat. Animals deal with plowing. And that's why Pari had to first dream about animals, because in order to get food, you got to plow. So first it was a question of plowing and not plowing. and then the hunger and the food. Okay, now the Mefarshim explain over here. The Gemara says a dream goes by the way you interpret it. I'm going to say later. We learned in the Gemara, when we were learning brachas, we learned the Gemara over there. In fact, he brings on a whole story over here. The Gemara brings down a story that there were 24 interpreters of dreams in Yerushalayim. One sage recorded that he once had a dream, and he went to consult them all, but each interpretation differed from all the others. Nevertheless, all the interpretations were fulfilled.
Wow. How it can be.
Okay, then there's another story over here. The Medrash tells a story that a lady once came to Rabbi Eliezer, and she said, "I dreamt that the upper chamber in the second story of my house will split open. I mean, my second floor is going to open up. This indicates that you'll conceive and bear a son," Rabbi Eliezer said. Okay, so you left, and so it happened. She had the same dream again later. Rabbi Eliezer came, the same dream, same thing. Sometimes later she had a third dream, the same dream, but Rabbi Eliezer wasn't there. The students were there. So what happens? They said that she would bury her husband. The same dream. Rabbi Eliezer interpreted she's going to conceive a son. The second dream, Rabbi Eliezer interpreted, same dream, she's going to conceive a son. This time Rabbi Eliezer wasn't there. So they said she's going to bury her husband. That's what happened.
Did she have the son also?
Yeah, but she had the first two. And then when Rabbi Eliezer returned and heard her cries of grief, he asked her what happened. They told him about a dream and their interpretation, and Rabbi Eliezer sternly rebuked them. "You have killed the man." The Gemara tells a story. This I remember when we learned the Gemara Brachas. The Gemara tells Abai and Rava had dreams. Both had dreams. Similar dreams. And they went to interpreters. Rava paid and Abai didn't. Rava paid the interpreter and Abai didn't. So the guy, Rava, the same guy they went to. I'm sorry, the same guy. Rava paid and Abaya didn't. So Rava, because he paid, got a good interpretation. And Abaya, who didn't pay, got a bad interpretation. And everything became fulfilled. And the Gemara tells on, without, went on and on and on with the continuation of the story. And finally they realized the guy did it only because he got money and didn't get money. But that's why the Gemara says the expression that dreams only go after the interpretation of the mouth. The expression of the Gemara is the dreams go by the way you interpret them. So that's why there's a concept in halacha called hatofes chalom, to make a dream good. If somebody has a bad dream, they come to shul and they treat the three people, and the guy says, I saw a dream, and they said to him, "No, it's a good dream. That's they undo. So therefore, if you ever have a bad dream,
come to shul.
Well, that's always good. Somebody here that's sitting in this class once told me he had a terrible nightmare. He had me in his dream. A terrible nightmare.
Really? What did you do in the dream?
No, he told me he came all excited. He dreamt about me in his dream. I said, "What a nightmare."
Oh,
so I interpreted the dream.
You were complimenting yourself.
Yeah. So
it was a beautiful dream. It was a beautiful dream.
Kept a nightmare.
It was a good one.
Yeah, it was a good one.
It can't be a nightmare in a dream. Don't you understand? Don't you see what's growing from your chin? Don't you see?
No, I can't see. I'm not looking
that
in the mirror.
Alone brings peace and calm to a dream.
Okay, that does it.
Why you don't do that?
Right?
There you go.
Where's yours? Me?
Yeah, you're
I'm not in his class.
He's not paid to do it, I am. So my interpretations I'm paid for. Now, so therefore basically, when people have a bad dream, or somebody ever tells you a bad dream, the best thing to do is immediately interpreted for something good, because that's the way dreams are. Chazal tell us that dreams are a partial level of prophecy. Sometimes dreams are negative. Tanya says, the Alter Rebbe brings down in Tanya, why does the person dream sometime? Because when the neshama goes up by sleeping, the neshama is not merited to go all the way up. So it gets stuck halfway between heaven and earth, and it still gets the visions of this world, but it's out of the world, so it's actually a torture and a nightmare for the neshama. No, I'm saying bad dreams. Bad dreams are because the neshama doesn't go up to the proper place. Yeah.
When you dream about the person that is deceased.
About deceased.
Yeah, somebody is dead.
And they come to you.
They come to me.
No.
The person that is dead knows about it or doesn't.
I'll tell you the truth, I never asked them. I forgot to ask them, yeah.
What?
Okay. So it's in the big siddurim. I don't think it's in the Hebrew English. It's in the No. 268 is what we say by Duchanan. That's something else. That also talks about bad dreams, you're right. But there's a special thing, it's not in the English siddur, it's in the Hebrew siddur, the big one. It's a whole system, a thing called Hatafes Chalom, of bettering a dream, making a dream good.
What page is that?
I don't remember. I don't dream, so I don't know.
What?
You cannot be the one. It's your rabbi.
What?
Don't
no. Okay, so therefore, Pari, meanwhile, is left with the dream with no interpretation. So what happens? So the butler now finally wakes up. And the Mefarshim explain, it's not because he was such a good guy. The butler brings up now that Yosef once interpreted a dream. Why did the butler say it? So the Medrash says, the butler said to himself as follows, Pari is going crazy for no interpretation. It's going to cause him to die. That's how crazy he was going, Pari. He went berserk. Okay? If nobody would interpret the dream, he's going to die. What's going to happen? There'll be a new king. I might not have my job anymore. So I'd rather speak up and get them a good interpreter that at least he'll stay alive. At least I know I have security for my job. That's what the Medrash says. And on the contrary, he said I can make my position even better. You know, but he didn't do it because he was a tzaddik.
Isn't there a Midrash that said that Hashem kept on tying the string around his finger to remind him to remember Pari the way he promised Pari?
It could be, I don't remember.
Remember Joseph, but the angel kept on tying the string, so he never remembered to remember Joseph.
I don't know. It could be. Again, I just don't know. Okay, Fedabis said Amashkim, so the cupbearer, the butler, said, and as the expression goes, there's an expression called Ein Chochem Kabbalah Nisoyin. There's nobody as smart as the guy that has the experience. The butler understood what Pari was going through, because he also had a dream, and he's also going crazy with no interpretation. So he understood that Pari is having a hard time dreaming and no interpretation. So what did he say? He says, "Es chatoi ani masker hayem. I have to confess my sin. I remind myself of my sin that I did." And he says to Pari, "I want you to know, Pari, I'm going to mention my sin." He wanted to flatter Pari, so to speak, to do chanifa on Pari. He said, "I'm just telling you, I sinned to Pari, but I'm doing it. I'm going to tell you now and confess my sin for your benefit, that we should get you an interpreter." Okay. And he says, even though I was incarcerated, I didn't complain. Pari did justice. You know, he says, he's saying, I'm not complaining. But he's telling him a fact. Pari kotzev alavod. Pari got angry at his servants. Now, the Mefarshim explained, Evan Ezra Rashbam, Pari couldn't be the king's name. You don't call a king by his first name. Right? So Pare was not his name. Hare was the title of all Egyptian kings. And therefore there were all these Pares. It wasn't their name, it was the title of respect. So when they spoke to the king about the king, they didn't say, they spoke third person. They didn't say, you said, you got angry. They spoke, the king. What was the word for the king? It was Pare. That's why all these Egyptian kings, Avram had a Pare, and Yitzchak had a Pare, and Yaakov had a Pare, and Meshi had a Pare. I mean, it wasn't the same guy, obviously. But this was the name of royalty.
Is it true that the Pare was a midget?
The Pare in Meshi Rabbeinu's time was a box, a square, a cube. Cube, it was a cube. 2 feet by 2 feet by 2 feet. That's what the Medrash says. If it's the simple meaning or allegorically, I don't know. But that's what the Medrash says. He was Amma by an Amma by an Amma.
What?
Yeah, Pare. Well, they found a lot of the mummies of the old Egyptian kings, they found them to be real midgets. Huh? Yeah, dwarf. Okay. Pare kotzav al avodav. Pare got angry at his servants. Vayitan Asi b'mishmar, he put me into prison. And again, I'm not complaining, he says, what you did. I'm just telling you a fact. Beisar atabachim, in the house of the butcher. Asi, he put me, the Asar Aifim, and the baker. So he's telling Pare, I want you to know that you once put us into prison. V'nachalmo chaleim b'layla echod, and that we dreamt a dream in one night. Anivahu, me and him, we both dreamt a dream. Ish kefisrin chaleimer chalamnu. And we dreamt a dream which was the interpretation of the other one's dream. And like we learned before, that each one dreamt not only their own dream, but the interpretation of the other one. Okay, so what happened? Now, the Barbanel says, what does it mean? Both our dreams were very, very similar. And therefore, normally, a fake interpreter would have interpreted both dreams equally. But this guy that interpreted our dreams was real, that he interpreted the dreams mamish the opposite way, which shows that he was a real interpreter. And like we mentioned not long ago on a different occasion, that you can have a Rebbe, like if you ask a Shaila Rav, is the meat kosher or not kosher? If it's kosher for Meshach Rabbeinu, it's kosher for the simplest Jew. But a Rebbe, two people can ask the exact same question and get two opposite answers. Because in soul issues, no two people are alike. In Torah, what's kosher and what's treif, what's allowed, what's not allowed, everybody's the same. But if you talk about soul issues, so he wanted to show a real interpreter is not the guy that's going to interpret all the dreams the same way. We had a similar dream, yet he interpreted it very differently. Vishami Tanu, and he says as follows. Vishami Tanu, there with us in prison, was Nar, a kid, Ivri, who's Jewish, Eved, a slave, the Sarat Tabachim, to the butcher. Now Rashi right away quotes, cursed are the Rishoyim, that even when they do favors, it's not a favor. Like the expression in English, with friends like you, who needs enemies? Right? What does it mean? Pare, the butler is already telling Pare about this interpreter. So he says, Pare, he wants to make sure, this is how warped their minds were. He wanted to make sure, because you have to understand, they weren't stupid people. The butler understood, if Yesh is going to interpret the dream properly, Pare is going to make him a big macher. Right? And he didn't want that, because he was an anti-Semite. So he says, you know who was in prison? A kid, a nod. A kid, a little kid, he's immature. Not only is he a nod, but he's Ivri. He doesn't even belong to Egypt. He's Jewish. And a Jew, and a guy, and a Jew can be a king in Egypt. Thirdly, he was an Eved, a slave. And in the constitution, Rashi says of Egypt, it says that a slave can be a king. So when he's already describing Yosef, he's using every negative thing possible. He's a kid, he's Jewish, and he's a slave. That's one way of, that's where Rashi learns. Other people explain it less sinister. For instance, he brings down The Radak explains, Nar means he took care of us. Fatifa slave, that was identification. How do you identify which prisoner? So they did it as part of identification. But Rashi learns, not so bad. Right. And other Mefarshim learn that he did it purposely. The parish did not suspect that the cupbearer had ulterior motives to become a big leader by giving the parish this advice also. So he wanted parish to think that he really meant it, which is not necessarily true. Anyway, so what happened? We told him our dreams. He interpreted for us our dreams. He interpreted each man according to his opinion. What the interpretation was. No. Only later. No, that they dreamt the interpretation of the other. They only knew after Yosef interpreted the dreams. No. That they didn't know. Then the pasuk says, "Vayhi kasher pasal lanu," and the Mefarshim, the Ramban explains another thing, that he said every detail of the dream was relevant to Yosef's interpretation. That means he didn't only interpret the general dream; every detail of the dream was interpreted by Yosef. So it says, "Vayhi kasher pasal lanu kenhoshi," the way he interpreted the dreams, that's the way it was. Okay, so it says, "Aisi heishiv al kani," me he took back to my post. "Va'aisi sala," and him he hung. So the butler is saying, "Tepare, I have a good interpreter for your dream," because he interpreted every detail of the dream correctly, and the way he interpreted the dream, that's paka what happened. "Va'yishtach pare ve'yikras Yosef," so Pari sent and called for Yosef. When was this? On Rosh Hashanah. We just learned that in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Taka. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah said Yosef was released from prison on Rosh Hashanah. And the Daske Malatesis says even a proof of it, because the word Vayechalef Simleisav, that he changed his clothing, is the numerical value of the first day of Tishrei. So Yosef was taken out of prison on Rosh Hashanah in the year 2230 from creation. Okay? So they figure it out, just for those people that are into history. Yosef ruled at the time of Amenhotep, the first of the 18th dynasty, who ruled 1545 to 1525 BCE.
A couple hundred years before we left Egypt.
Right.
How Yosef Galeach on the Rosh Hashanah shed his work?
First of all, they did it for him. Secondly, it was Pikuach Nefesh. Thirdly, it's not necessarily that the Shvatim kept the Torah. The others kept Torah. There's Lav Davka that they did.
Yeah,
well, it was on the day of Rosh Hashanah.
Oh.
Well, they had Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the day of creation.
Right.
Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov for sure celebrated Rosh Hashanah. What the tribes did or not is questionable.
Did they give
honey? Yeah, they give him challah and honey. What?
25 barrels.
What?
The world was great.
I know, but here it talks about Rosh Hashanah.
He shaved the head or his face?
No. Oh, 1 second. Vayishto pavi yikras yezdi, he called Yosef. Vayitzu min abad, they rushed him. Vayitzu of simrots, they rushed him from prison. Vayigalach, he shaved. Vayichalif simlesev, and he changed his garments. Like Rashi says, out of respect for royalty. And Rashi wants to explain that he didn't do it out of happiness of his release, because he didn't know what was going on yet. They just dragged him to Pari. He did it out of respect to Pari. Why? Because like the Sepunah quotes in the book of Esther, it's forbidden to enter the king's garment in sack. Now if he was a prisoner, he wasn't wearing $1,000 suits. Right? He was wearing sackcloth.
But he insisted
to do
change the clothes.
Not necessarily. No, it's out of respect for the Malach. Okay, Vayave al Pare, and he brought him to Pare. Okay, just one more detail before we go on in the Psukim over here, and that is the Mashal explains in the Gemara about dreams. Why do dreams follow the interpretation of the one that says it? Well, what power does speech have that they can influence a dream? So Mashal explains, the Chachamim, the Torah gives power to speech completely. For instance, the concept of Ayin Hara, a lot has to do with speech. Lashon Hara, that can hurt people, has to do with speech. Speech is a very, very powerful weapon. From a secular perspective, verbal abuse could be much worse than physical abuse. Therefore, the Torah forbids verbal abuse. According to Einoz Dvarim, is verbal abuse. The Torah gave ability and power to speech. Why? Because speech is a revelation, like we learned many times, of something which is hidden. When you speak bad about somebody, you speak Lashon Hara. So what you're basically doing is revealing that person's bad that until now was hidden. That's basically what you're doing. So speech does have a powerful thing. We mentioned in the past the famous story with the Baal Shem Tov, when the Baal Shem Tov overheard one student telling the other one, I'm going to kill you, rip you apart like a fish. And the Baal Shem Tov showed him a vision that they taka did it. Okay? But you have to be so careful, besides the fact that the kids repeat what you say, that's for sure. I just heard a story that there's a little kid, a pipsqueak, had a dream. His mother told me he had a dream that a lady came and ruined his computer. So he told over the dream to the mother, and the kid says to the mother, Mommy, are you going to kill him? Are you going to kill her? Where did he get it? Because when the kid misbehaved, the mother said, I'm going to kill you, you know. Like mothers or fathers typically, I'm going to kill you. So what happened? So the kid said, how do you punish somebody? You kill him, right? That's what the kid says to the mother, Mommy, are you going to kill her? You have to be so careful. Because no, that's very authentic. But Bechlal, when somebody says to somebody, I'll kill you, like we said, in the world of speech, it happens. So the power of speech that Hashem gave is very powerful. Where does this power come from? So if you just analyze very simply, the world was created with speech. So you see the power of speech. Oh, granted, it's Hashem's speech, but the Torah does say that the world was created with speech. So speech does have phenomenal powers to it.
So going back to Ayin Hara, mother could Ayin Hara on their own kids?
Yeah, if she's mentally retarded.
No, I mean, if you speak too much,
mothers should not put Ayin Hara on kids.
I mean, for example, you see the beauty of your child, that moment of her life, and you say, look how she's beautiful. And
you Baba, you once said something related to that. But people cannot be jealous.
You can't be jealous of your own kids. That's why Bechlal, parents, normal parents, don't give their kids Ayin Hara. The concept of Ayin Hara, as we explained many times, there are many explanations of Ayin Hara, but a very simple explanation of Ayin Hara is, like we gave many times the analogy of it. You can get away a lot of times with things that the government won't bother you with. I mean, you could do certain buildings, certain things, nobody's going to do anything to you. But if somebody complains, then they have to stop it. Okay? Give you an example. You make noise at night, yeah? As long as nobody says anything, the police are not going to come tell you to be quiet. Even though you're going against the law, but they forget it. Nobody's complaining. If somebody complains, then the cops can't say just ignore it. Then they have to do something about it because the person's going against the law, right? Many times Hashem gives people things they don't necessarily deserve, and they get away with it. Okay? So as long as nobody complains, Hashem lets it go. When a person gives an evil eye, what's the evil eye? How come they have it and I don't? I mean, that's the concept of an evil eye. How come? Why do they have it and I don't? So listen, when somebody complains, Hashem just can't say, okay, forget it. Then Hashem will say, well, I got to take the law. Do they deserve it or don't they deserve it? But this is the power of speech that people have to be very careful. Now, this is all in the negative. You can imagine good is infinitely better than bad. So you can imagine the power of speech that in a good way. The power, huh?
Bracha.
A bracha, a nice word to somebody, it has an unbelievable effect. It's an unbelievable effect.